Take me to the King. I don't have much to bring. My heart is torn in pieces. It's my offering. Lay me at the throne. Leave me there alone to gaze upon your glory and sing to you this song. Please take me to the King. Truth is, I'm tired. Options are few. I'm trying to pray, but where are you? I'm all churched out, hurt and abused. I can't fake what's left to do. Truth is, I'm weak, no strength to fight, no tears to cry. Even if I try, but still my soul refuses to die. Mm-mm. One touch could change my life. Take me to the King. I don't have much to bring. My heart is torn in pieces. It's my offering. Lay me at the throne. Leave me there alone to gaze upon your glory and sing to you this song. Please take me to the King. Truth is, it's time to stop playing these games. We need a word for the people's pain. So Lord, speak right now. Let it fall like rain. Oh yes, we're desperate. We're chasing after you. Oh, no rules, no religion. I've made my decision to run to you, the healer that I need. Take me to the King. Don't have much to bring. My heart is torn to pieces. It's my offering. Lay me at the throne. Leave me there alone to gaze upon your glory and sing to you this song. Lord, we're in the way. We keep making mistakes. The glory's not for us, it's all for you. Take me to the King. I don't have have much to bring. My heart is torn to pieces. It's my offering. Lay me at the throne. Leave me there alone to gaze upon your glory and sing to you this song. Please take me to the King.
Praise him. Praise him, everyone. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Hey, yes, he's worthy. You know, in this being Palm Sunday, surely we can give more praises than what we're giving, huh? Amen. You know, this is the day that led up to that day. Amen. Amen. It started on Palm Sunday. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Father. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Father God, I just thank you, Father. Lord, I pray and ask, Lord, that you touch me, Father God. Touch me, your servant, Father God. Touch me, Father God, top of my head to the soles of my feet, Lord. Take any and everything away, Father, that's offensive unto you, Lord. Cleanse me, Lord. Use me this day, Lord. Open up my mouth, Father God, and pour out, Lord God, that which you have put inside to give unto your people, Father. Father, I pray that you speak, Father. Let hearts be open that we may receive, Father God. Lord, not only we receive, Father God, but we accept, Lord God, what thy word you have given unto us, Father God. Touch, Lord. Touch in our lives, Lord, as only you can touch, Father. Oh, we just thank you and we just praise you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. 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 I thank God for the opportunity to come before you this day. Most important, I thank my pastor for giving the opportunity. Amen. Reverend Bingham, you know, Reverend Bingham called me, and I thank him. Each and every time, I always want to be there for your pastor when he calls you. So I do thank God for that. And I want to acknowledge my brothers, the ministers here, the pulpit, and I see my good friend, the Reverend Dr. Hope, here, and my wife also. Amen. Amen. You know, I know this is Palm Sunday, and I know the significance of Palm Sunday. Amen. You know, and I know. More likely, you're probably looking for a word about Palm Sunday. Amen? Well, I'm sorry to tell you. Palm Sunday message I do not have. But as he said, that what I do have, I'll give unto you. Amen? Amen. And the word this morning is touched again. Touched again. You know, I was sitting there this morning, and when the call to altar prayer came, my knees were shaking so bad. And my wife came up and put a hand out. And just to touch to calm the nerves. Now, I say that to say, because see, last week my pastor sat there. And he said he was feeling great and he come out of Sunday school. And I watched his wife come up, hold his hand. And then his daughter come over and hold his hand. And how just a touch, he was able to go on. But if you get a touch again from the master, possibly you and I can go on. Amen? Amen. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. Touched again. Amen. You know, there's a song that was written by Johnny Nash in 1972, but everybody thought Jimmy Clifford was the one who wrote it, which was in 1993. And the song that was recorded by Johnny Nash originally was "I Can See Clearly Now That The Rain Is Gone." Now you say, well, what do you mean, I can see clearly? Because see, the stanza, first part of it, I can see clearly now that the rain is gone. I can see all the obstacles in my way. Because see, we as saints of God oftentimes have our vision on, but we can't see the obstacles in our way. Amen? Well, that's what Jesus was talking about here to the Pharisee. Let me give you a little scripture before we get into this thing. Now, I'm going to start up in verse 14 in the 8th chapter. Now, they had forgotten to bring bread, and they only had one loaf with them in the boat. And he cautioned them, saying, "Watch out. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod." And they began discussing with one another the fact that they had no bread. And Jesus, a word that said to them, "Why are you discussing the fact that you have no bread? Do you not yet perceive or understand? Are your hearts hardened? Having eyes, do you not see? Having ears, do you not hear? And do you not remember when I broke the five loaves, for the 5,000? How many baskets full pieces did you take up?" They said to him, 12. "And the 7 for the 4,000? How many baskets full of broken pieces did you take up?" They said to him, 7. And he said to them, "Do you not yet understand?" And they came to Bethsaida, and some people brought to him a blind man, begged him to touch him. He took the blind man by the hand, led him out of the village, and when he had spit on his eyes and laid hands on him, he asked him, "Do you see anything?" He looked up and said, "I see men, but they look like trees walking." Then Jesus laid his hands on his eyes again, and he opened his eyes, and his sight was restored, and he saw everything clearly. And he sent him to his home, saying, "Do not even enter the village." Now, as I was saying about, we see clearly, we see all the obstacles in our way. Amen? That's the way we want to see. And that's what Jesus wants us to see. That's the way he wants us to see. Well, this here story, I took it out of the book of Mark. And Mark was the nephew of Barnabas. I'm going to give you a little history. He was the nephew of Barnabas, and he went on the first evangelist trip with Paul and Barnabas. And he not only that, he was a good friend to Peter. So he was able to write down some of the events in which was told unto him. And one of the events that made a significance unto him was this blind man. This blind man is not the same blind man as blind Bartimaeus, nor is it the same blind man that's in the book of John that was born blind. But this here blind man was entirely different. And it shows where Jesus was, showed where Jesus did something different in healing. See, normally they had seen where Jesus worked right instantly, right off. But now this time they see him where Jesus is going to work in stages in their life. Because see, you know, in order to get this, we have to see the analogies of which Jesus is presenting to his disciples. Because see, it was a blind man that was touched twice by the Lord. But the fact is, Jesus is presenting something to his disciples. You know, I was talking to someone and I was talking to him the way our pastor had been preaching lately. I said, he's presenting something to us. He's showing us something. And I was looking at that and I'm saying that to say in reflection with this, the way Reverend Bingham was preaching, the way he'd been preaching to set us up, to get us ready. And I was looking at that. Well, Jesus was preparing his disciples for his leaving. Amen? So he's letting them know right here when he talks to them up in verse 14, he's asking them a question. And because, see, they don't yet understand who it is. There's no understanding at this time. Now, you see, well, I know I'm jumping around because I wrote this thing 3 different times, and my wife told me just get on out of the house and go. Just go. So I'm saying this, so if just bear with me, because we're going to get to the point. We're going to get to the point of being touched again by the Master. We're going to get there. And if I'm too long, y'all cut the lights out, close the door, and I'll keep on preaching until we get there. Amen. No, but just teasing. Well, anyway, in this here about this blind man, it shows where Jesus worked in stages. That's what it shows, where he worked in stages. Now the importance of it is that his disciples seen and that they understood, because they did not understand. They did not understand, yet they were walking with the Lord, who it was. You say, well, bring that to us today. I know we get saved, and I know we get caught, we come to the altar, but yet we don't understand who it is that's working in our lives. Amen? See, so let's go in here and look at this. Now, I'm going to flip back and forth from 22 into 14, into the parts up before, because I said it's an analogous Jesus showing his disciples. It says, and they came to Bethsaida, and some people brought to him a blind man, begged him to touch it. Now go up 14. And now that when they had forgotten to bring bread, they had one loaf with them in it. And he cautioned them, saying, watch out. Beware of leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. He was the first point, he was given warning when he told them to watch out. He was given warning because their hearts wasn't right. It was full of selfishness and self-reliance. They were the importance of him speaking about the Pharisees and Herod was the fact that they did not have the love of God in their heart. Now, they came to Bethsaida. Some people brought them blind. They begged him. Other words, as if they were really concerned about the blind man. They wasn't concerned about the blind man. What they were concerned was is seeing a sign from heaven to see whether he was Jesus or not, whether he was the master. That's what they were concerned. Well, you say, bring it to us today. Well, you got to watch your motives in the things of what you do. You got to make sure in what you do, you are doing it for the love of God and not for that of yourself. Amen? You got to check your motives all the time. You got to make sure you're not counting on self. See, the Pharisees always was talking about the keeping of the law and this here being right. You know, excuse me. See, sometimes we get caught up in the thinking and believing and forgetting what the love of God is all about. You know, earlier today we learned in Sunday school, don't sweat the small stuff. Amen? It ties right in with what we're speaking today. You know, I did just what Emmett said. Sunday evening, I come right home and I begin to read my Sunday school lesson for the next week. But I didn't know how the Lord was going to work it. The Lord works this thing out. See, and then we sing the songs in which we sing, he's all, huh? He works this thing out for us. And Jesus was letting the disciples know, listen, you fellas, check me out. Everything is tied unto me. That's what he was saying to them. But they were not perceiving it because he told them. First thing he says, he warned them, beware of the Pharisees and Herod. Don't be caught up into self-reliance. Don't be self-centered about them. Always have within your heart the love of God. Always considering your brother before yourself. See, so but when they brought this blind man, they wasn't worried about the blind man receiving sight. It was something else. They had some other motives, some hidden agendas. And that's what that was. So they wasn't worried about that. They wasn't really concerned about this blind man. But Jesus knew that. He knew that just like he was telling his disciples down here. Excuse me. They began discussing with one another the fact that they had no bread. We just sung the song, Christ is everything to me. They didn't have no bread. He just got on the boat and came over to the other side where they had just fed 4,000 with seven loaves. Amen? Well, you say, well, what that have to do with me? I cannot give your testimony, but look back in your own life of what Christ has just done for you. Check out within your own self what the Lord just done. You know, I can look in my own life and I can see how the Lord just constantly keeps on blessing me. You know, there's a song, every time I turn around, he just keeps on blessing me. You know, I know a few songs, Sister B. He just keeps on blessing me. See, and they wasn't looking at the blessings of what they were receiving. And what do you mean? In other words, we have to look at who it is that's working in our lives. Because see, he just told them in warning them, watch out. That's what the scripture said. It said, watch out. Don't get caught up in believing that you're doing something yourself. Constantly be in reminders of who it is that's working in your life. If you get up in the morning, thank the Lord. If you're able to go out each and every day, thank the Lord. If you're able to go to work, thank the Lord. If you can't get up, but you've got you are able to open your eyes, thank the Lord. If there's breath in your body, thank the Lord. Give him thanks each and every time. Acknowledge him in everything you do, and he'll continue to bless you. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. See, so Jesus is bringing this to the disciples in this analogy of the blind man. And then he warned them also when he took the blind man by the hand, led him out. You got to watch out for the obstacles that are in your way. Because, see, sometimes people will get around you and they don't always mean good for you. Amen. See, he led them out. Because, see, you can get caught up, and it ain't nothing against the people. You can get caught up with crowds. The Lord don't always work with you in a crowd. See, he tells us sometimes we got to get in a closet ourselves and get to praying unto the Lord. Well, Jesus led this man out, this blind man out. And the Bible says here he spit in his eyes. This is the first time Jesus has performed it this way. Normally he would spit on the ground, make clay, and put it in his eyes. Amen? That's what he did with blind Bartimaeus. That's what he did with the blind man over in John, the 9th chapter. But this time he spit in his eyes, showing the disciples something different. And when he spit in his eyes, he asked him a question. He asked him, what do you see? That's the same thing he asked the disciples up there earlier in the chapter. He said, when they were discussing the fact that they had no bread, he said, what do you perceive? So your second point is perception. That's what you see. What do you see? Jesus was asking the blind man, what do you see? Just like he asked the disciples, do you not yet perceive or understand? That's the same thing what he was asking them. And when he asked the blind man, what do you see? Jesus already knew, being who he was, he already knew what he seen. But he was looking for what he would answer. Just like when he asked the disciples, do you yet not understand? He's asking us the same thing within our own life. It's okay to say, I don't get it yet. I don't understand, even though you've been touched and you've been saved and you've been delivered. It's okay to come back to the altar and say, I don't yet get it. I don't yet understand. It's okay to keep coming back. But what he was looking for is what the blind man said. The blind man did exactly what you and I are supposed to do. He spoke truthfully and told Jesus exactly what it was he see. He said, I see men, but they walking as trees. And you and I know men don't supposed to be walking as trees. So Jesus knew he didn't see clearly. Just like some of you and I come into church and we come in and we get saved. It's not right that you don't see clearly just right now. Because see, the Lord letting you know sometimes you and I need to be touched again by the Master. He's letting them know, you know, but he wants you and I to talk truthfully unto him. And see, what the blind man said was, I'm not seeing clearly at this time. And see, by him answering truthfully, he was able to heal the blind man. He could heal him anyway, but Lord is looking for you and I to be truthful unto him when we come unto the altar. He's looking for you and I to speak truthful. He wants to have a relationship with us where he can ask. He said, bring it unto me. If we bring it unto him, you know, I'm looking at this to look within my own life. Because see, sometimes people, how you doing? Oh, I'm doing fine. And I can remember for those years before all the surgeries, fine was the last thing I was doing. I mean, I was doing all I could to stand up straight, hurting so bad. I just wanted to lean over if possible at any time and any opportunity. But when the Lord began to talk unto me, he began to put people in my life to show me the direction and to be truthful in all matters. It's all right to say you're hurting. It's all right to say I don't know what's going on. It's all right to say I'm going through. You're not asking for no handout or nothing like that. You're just being truthful about the matter. The blind man answered truthfully, I see men as trees. You know, what is he saying? See, sometimes in this life, We after we come to the altar, you know, the cares of this life make us spring a leak sometimes. And, you know, and when we spring a leak, it's all right to come back unto the altar. It's all right to come back and pray unto the Lord, letting the Lord know I need to be touched again. Oh, we at our third point of being touched again. It's all right to be touched again. It's all right to say I don't have this thing just yet. It's okay. And the blind man was telling him, and then Jesus touched him again. And when he touched him again, it said he seen clearly. I'm trying to ask you this morning, saints of God, are you seeing clearly? Have you yet received a touch from the Lord? And if you've received a touch from the Lord, you might be like David. David was anointed 3 different times before he got the inheritance which was promised, prophesied unto him. The first time he ran from Paul when he was anointed. The second time, he only received one piece of Israel, the children of Israel, just the tribe of Judah. The third time when he was anointed is when he received it. And you say, well, brother, I've been touched and touched again, but yet God hasn't removed it. Well, you might be like Paul. You may be like Paul. Paul said he went to the third heavens praying. He went beyond where the birds fly. He went beyond where the astronauts land. He went up to the third heavens. And when he went up to the third heavens, things were uttered unto him. And he received something. He received the fact that the grace of God is sufficient. So what are you saying? Paul knew every time he went back unto the Lord and the Lord touched him a little bit, he knew that he was able to continue on. I sit here, we got an example within our church. Every time the pastor goes back unto the Lord touches me, he's able to go on a little longer. Amen. Ain't that right, Reverend Bingham? And we sit there and you just watch it. The Lord's given us examples in our life. He's showing us there's nothing wrong with coming unto the altar to be touched again. The blind man was touched again. You know, you don't have to get this thing in the first stage. There are stages in your life where you have to receive this thing. This thing is called sanctification. And that's what Jesus was breaking down unto him. I know everything that pertains to godliness is already inside of you. But sometimes you have to go through stages in order to get this thing. And that's what Jesus was presenting to the disciples. It's all right to be truthful. It's all right to just say, I don't understand. It's all right to just be honest about it. But don't have the fact of a heart hardened, because you can get a hardened heart where you believe and count on yourself. That was the fact why he warned them. The second part was he told them in your perception to be truthful. And the third thing he was telling them, there's nothing wrong with being touched again. I know we're short, but the fact is there anybody in here that want to be touched again by the Lord? You can be touched again. And I'm not saying this is for people that's not saved. He was talking to his disciples who was saved. You can be touched again. You can be filled again. Your cup might have sprung a leak, as I said. But you might need just another touch from the Lord. And you can receive that today. And that'll lead us on up until the next week. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Heard the word of God, it's invitation time. The doors of the church are open for the reception of members. If you're here without Christ, you can leave here with Christ. Put your faith and confidence in him. If you're here with troubled minds and troubled hearts, God can make a difference in your life. The doors of the church are open. You've heard the word of God. Amen.